This weekend, a group of old travelers will be gathering in New Orleans. They're some of the men and women whose journey 40 years ago helped bring a nation to its senses. It was about this time in 1961 when the Freedom Riders were making their first trip from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans. They wanted to test whether the federal law of the United States mattered in southern states, whether black travelers and white travelers would have the same access to meals, to the restroom, or to any seat on a bus. The Congress of Racial Equality made careful plans in advance of the trip. They also made contingency plans for their contingency plans, but the unwavering rule of conduct for every Freedom Rider was to adhere to the principle of nonviolence. B. Elton Cox was a minister living in High Point, North Carolina, when he joined the ride. Mr. Cox, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you, sir.
And Edward Blankenheim was a student at the University of Arizona when he heard the call out there and joined. Mr. Blankenheim, thank you for being with us.
Whatever.
Thank you. And both of you are joining us from New Orleans. You met during training 40 years ago?
Yes.
What was that training like?
Well, it was a week of training to make sure that we would remain nonviolent in our thoughts and our actions, our deeds and expression, mm-hmm. and be able to take whatever would be dished out by opposition. So we went through all kind of training of knocking down, spitting, and calling each other all racial slurs, pouring coffee and cokes on each other and shoving. And then if one was beaten, going through an act of beating, the other was jump on and top of him to take some of the blows. And we were taught how particularly to cover our heads.
So you were taught if one of your fellow Freedom Riders was getting beaten, rather than pull away, and certainly rather than to assail the assailant, your job was to get down there with him and absorb some of the blows.
And the idea was most people would only beat you and hit you so often, then something would touch them their hearts, and sometimes they'd let you go.
Mr. Blankenheim, what was that training like?
It was really, really horrible. You felt terrible all the time. Because you knew that's what you were going to face going down the road. But we took it very seriously, and by the time we were through, we were a pretty seasoned bunch of travelers.
What were your plans, Reverend Cox, once you got on board the bus?
Well, the 13 of us, 7 whites and 6 blacks, the blacks would ride up front, and the whites would ride in the rear, which gave the other passengers a shock, because that wasn't the arrangement they were expecting. And then we got to each stop. The blacks would go into the white waiting room and drink out of the white fountain and go in the white restroom. And the whites would go in the old colored. Yeah. And that shocked everybody. And then we tried to order food at the counters opposite of our race.
Well, take us back, if you could, Mr. Blankenheim, to that first day when you got on the bus.
It was pretty much nice until we got to Birmingham. In our case, it wasn't good. When we got to Anniston, that's when the mob started.
Well, Mr. Blankenheim, let me ask you about what happened when that bus got to Anniston, because it's considered really one of the watershed pieces of ground in the history of the American Civil Rights Movement, your bus in Anniston.
Yes.
Tell us what happened there, please.
Well, we drove into Anniston to the bus station, and the mob surrounded the bus. I generally say we couldn't get off, and I, for one, did not want to. They were truly ugly, ugly people. It was Mother's Day, and there were mothers there with their children, and some were even carrying babies, and they wanted us dead.
Mr. Blankenheim, I know this is painful, but can you remember some of the things you heard people shout?
Nigger lover, of course, was the biggie, and they were trying to decide whether I was a communist. They knew I must be a communist. But was I a Dago or one of those damn Jews? It seemed to occupy them for quite a little time. Anyway, the bus then drove out of the place outside of Anniston, maybe 5-10 miles. There, they flattened the tires and started being particularly ugly. They had set the bus on fire. And they were just outside the door yelling, we'll roast them alive, we'll roast them alive. Then one of the fuel tanks exploded, scared the devil out of everybody, including the mob, and they got backed away from the bus. And it was just far enough so that we could get out. But then, of course, the beatings began.
I seem to recall, Mr. Blankenheim, that the sheriff in Anniston kind of knew what was going to happen, and he let his men fall back. Is that your memory?
Yes. That was the only reason we were not turned over to the mob outside of Anniston, was because they hadn't gotten their orders yet from Patterson.
This is John Patterson, who was governor before George Wallace.
Right, yes. And when they did, all hell broke loose.
Reverend Cox?
Yes, sir.
You were on another bus.
I was started off on the Greyhound bus, but in South Carolina, I made a deal with my church that I would return to High Point for Mother's Day. Mm-hmm. If you are a black preacher in America, you don't, that's one Sunday you don't miss. So I went back. And I think he had you all to tell, I think it was a deputy sheriff or a state trooper or someone who pulled his gun and shot in the air to bag the mob off.
Yeah, it was a state trooper.
Yeah. And often they would, police would make a deal with the mob. We'd let you have them for so long, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, and then we'll step in. They stood back and let the mob beat them with iron pipes and everything. There are pictures to show that.
Reverend Cox.
Yes, sir.
Your family proud of you?
I'm the seventh of 16 kids, and my mother and father, they thought I was kind of off. Mm-hmm. Many of my members thought I was kind of off. But I told them that someone through the years had opened up doors of opportunity to fight for the American dream, so I just happened to be one of the 13 on this ride. And we were simply trying to carry out all the way back to 1875 when they passed the Civil Rights Bill saying that public accommodation should be available to all citizens. Yeah. But no one enforced them. That's why we had the Fellowship of Reconciliation ride in 1947 and other rides, just trying to carry out the American dream. And so when you do the unusual, people think you're off mentally. And I tell you the truth, as St. Paul said, we are fools for Christ. If you got involved in the civil rights movement, you were a fool. Fool.
And over the years, have that core group of a dozen, 13 to 15 of you, stayed in touch?
Yes.
Yes, we've had two or three gatherings. And right now, I think there's only five or six of us still alive.
No, there are only four of us, huh? You, Hank, who else?
Then we got the boy from Kentucky. We never found him. And then Genevieve Hughes. We think she's in a convent.
Yeah. So there are only three of us.
Yeah.
Three of us left.
Well, they did a lot with the years they had.
Well, most people don't realize that Rosa Parks integrated the buses in one city. Our activity integrated the buses in the 17 southern states when the ICC ruled that all public accommodation must be integrated.
Interstate Commerce Commission.
Correct.
What do you see when you look at each other these days?
You swell up and with tears, and you embrace each other, and because you just wonder what happened to us, and we communicate by phone sometimes. It's a sad picture. Yesterday I started crying. Here I am, 69 years old, talking to somebody, and tears just flowing. Well, tears are for joy and sorrow and cleansing. So yesterday, it was from joy and sadness.
Amen, Brother Cox.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for speaking with us.
Well, thank you kindly for telling the nation and the world the message that America is the greatest country on earth. We just got to still make it better.
A lot better. Thank you.
Thanks very much,
yes,
gentlemen.
Sir. Bye-bye.
B. Elton Cox and Edward Blankenheim speaking from New Orleans. This weekend, they and other Freedom Riders are meeting at a conference on freedom struggle sponsored by Tulane University and Cambridge.
Oh, Jesus, God, my feet.